on to our open session item. Item 7, presentation of actuarial audit by Chiron.
So today we have Bill Homework and Ann Harper from Chiron. They're here to present the results of their actual audit that was conducted of the December 31st, 2018 actuarial evaluation that Siegel Consulting had prepared.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we did a full replication audit of the last valuation, and we're here to report the results of that audit. It's a very clean audit. We had technically four findings to mention to you, but one has already been reflected in the report and the rates that you adopted at the last meeting. And the other three are very minor technical issues to consider for future valuations. So just to quickly go through this, I'd like to refer to table 1-1, which is on page 2 of our report. And so at the top, we replicated the present value of future benefits. And this is a measure of all the benefits projected for your current members. And so it doesn't use an actuarial cost method, but applies the benefit provisions and all the assumptions in the valuation. And you can see we are right on Siegel's number. That's a very, very close match. The below that, when we match the actuarial liability and the normal cost, that's where we apply the actuarial cost method. And our computer systems and Siegel's computer systems use slightly different methods for applying this, so there's not going to be a perfect match on those. But the actuarial liability matches very closely. The ratio is 99%, so that is a very close match. The value of the assets, we match their calculation for the valuation value of assets. Now, the difference between those two numbers, when you start taking a difference of two large numbers, the very minor difference in the actuarial liability creates a little larger difference in the unfunded liability. So while that ratio is outside of the 5% standard we normally try to shoot for, it's really just due to the leveraging that happens between the actuarial liability and the valuation value. So we are not concerned about that difference. Then you can see the employer cost rate were slightly higher than they are, and the UAL payment rate slightly lower. Those are reflecting that difference in how our systems allocate between actuarial liability and normal cost. Again, nothing of concern. So you can rely on what's been provided by Siegel. We'll talk briefly about the technical findings just so that you're aware of them, and I'll turn it to Andrew for that.
So as Bill said, we matched very closely with Siegel on their contribution rates and the liabilities. However, when we were originally doing the match, we did find that there was one area of where we were outside the reasonable tolerance for the average member employee contribution rates, and it was for the cost group 12, which is the Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District. And the reason for this discrepancy was the handling of member contributions once a member has 30 or more years of service. Our understanding of the CERL is that once a safety member reaches 30 years of service, they will no longer contribute contributions to the fund. While Siegel was assuming that these members would continue to contribute contributions past 30 years of service. So we brought this discrepancy to staff, and they did some research and agreed with our understanding of the CERL, and also ensured that the plan was being administered such that members' contributions would stop when they hit 30 years of service. And then subsequently, Siegel did revise the report so that to take into account the difference there, and we do match now within a tolerable range. Another issue that we had, which was a minor inconsistency, was how the plan administers benefit payments compared to the timing of how those benefit payments are being calculated when Siegel values the liabilities. Again, this is just a minor issue, and it's basically that benefit payments are paid at the beginning of the month, meaning in December, for the benefit payments in December, they're paid January 1st. And the plan's assets include a liability for those payments. So the next time that assets are actually deducted from the plan would be a whole month after the valuation date. So typically, we value our system such that the benefit payments are paid at the end of the month, meaning like January 31st, and Siegel does the beginning of the month payment. So basically, they're being conservative. The difference in cost for this is just 1 year, or not 1 year, 1 month of interest payments. So it would decrease the contribution rates by about 60 basis points if Siegel were to recode their system to be end of the month versus beginning of the month. Again, a minor inconsistency or minor detail.
When you say 16 basis points, is that the combined employer or employee, or is that just the employer piece?
It's the employer piece.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
So one of the other technical issues we found in the application of the entry age cost method only affected employees who come in with some reciprocal service. So the cost method spreads the costs over an employee's career, and Siegel's method includes the reciprocal service in that time period that it's spreading it over. And we don't believe that that the reciprocal service should be included for that. So when someone is hired, if they come in with 10 years of reciprocal service, we think the liability should be zero at that point and grow from there. Whereas under Siegel's method, they recognize a liability for that 10 years of service. We initially thought this might be a material finding, but what it does is it allocates differently between normal cost and actuarial liability, and there's an offset on the actuarial liability side that currently matches in terms of cost very closely. So there's no material impact in this valuation, but we do think going forward they should take a look at that. And again, it only affects members who have reciprocal service.
So our last comment or recommendation is about the contents of the valuation report. Part of the audit is that we review the contents of the report and make sure that the contents comply with the actuarial standards of practice, which they do. We do recommend, however, that Siegel put projections of the contribution rates, the employer and employee contribution rates, and the funded status in their reports. We do recognize that they put projections of the UAL payments and the outstanding balance on the UAL in the report. However, those projections don't incorporate some dynamics like the new PEPRA tier coming into the plan, which is a lower cost group. So you're going to see your contribution rate over time decreasing alone just due to that lower tier, and that's something that we find stakeholders find valuable. And also the projections of the UAL payments don't include any deferred gains and losses from your asset smoothing method, because there's a five-year smoothing method on the assets so that you're only recognizing 20% of the deferred gains or losses each year. So those are not incorporated into the current projections of the UAL payments. But if you did contribution rate projections showing that dynamic, it would give a better picture of what your costs look like going forward.
So I think those are all our findings. Again, it was a very close match on the audit, so you can certainly rely on the valuation report that was presented and the contribution rates that were adopted.
Great. Thank you for your report. Is there any trustee comments or questions? And John?
Good report, by the way. Do you look at all at assumptions? And if you do, do you have any comments on the assumptions we're using as being appropriate, reasonably consistent with the rest of the sister plans that we compare ourselves against? Any other reactions on what we're now doing?
Yeah, so we reviewed the assumptions and issued a report on that a few months ago, and I think the general sense was there were a couple things to look at going forward. In particular, my recollection was looking at retirement rates by service groupings, expanding the service groupings, but all in all, the assumptions were reasonable.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Any other trustee? Yes. Donnie?
I'm new to this, so I just wanted to have a little framework for the ratios that you were coming through and pointing out, the 99% versus 100. Is that fairly typical to find such conformance? Was this above average, below? Just some context to that.
Yeah, so we generally use a tolerance of about 5% because you're doing these calculations on each individual and adding them up, and we're using different computer systems and different rounding methods and those sorts of things. So this is really a very close match.
Chiron and Siegel audit each other a lot with the 37 Act plan, so we're very familiar with the different methodologies that we use. So I would say that the 99% is closer than we have with other firms or other systems that are not 37 Act systems, is where we don't have that kind of relationship. So we find that a lot of the 37 Act audits are within these small tolerances.
Any other questions or comments? Okay. Since they're here, can I ask that Siegel come to the stand and just comment on their assessment of the report? If you hit the red button, or if you hit the talk button, I'll turn your mic on. Oh, there. I'm trying.
Okay. I was trained. Green means wait, and red means
yes. Yes.
Go. Okay. Thank you, Paul Angelo from Siegel Consulting. As Ann mentioned, we do a lot of audits back and forth. I think I've spoken to the board before. There's kind of four categories of things you can find in an actuarial audit. There's things you really ought to fix it now. There's things that you should fix it pretty soon, or maybe the next valuation. There are things that, you know, well, we'll take that under advisement, either with or without prejudice. And there are things that we just agree that we do things differently. You have a wonderful Whitman sampler here because you have one of each. The issue with Rodeo Hercules was a very good catch, the 30-year service, and that's just not valuing the appropriate plan provision. So we fixed that immediately in the valuation that's already been delivered. The one with the reciprocal service, that's a cute one. We looked around our other systems, and you know, you can argue either way. We know, for example, for your GASB reporting, they pretty much require that you do the way that Chiron's recommending. We agree, so we will make that change in next year's valuation. It'll also give us a chance to make sure that we have, you know, what happens is you get two different measures of service. You have an eligibility or vesting service, which includes your service with the previous employer. Then you have benefit service. And we were using the eligibility service as the basis of our entry age funding calculation. Bill described it very well. It means the day you arrive, you actually, it's as though you had 10 years of cost already allocated. We will adjust that for the next valuation. That's the first two categories. Remember, when the timing of the benefit payments, I think this is just a difference in systems. I think a case can be made that if you wanted to be as unconservative as possible, as get the numbers as close as you can, that there's a strong argument of Chiron's approach. We are comfortable having a little bit of margin by, in effect, you know, counting a slightly higher liability. It's helpful to see how it quantifies on a plan where the average contribution rate is about 35-ish percent of pay. This is roughly a half a percent pay difference. So we will look at that again in the next valuation, but most likely we will stay with our approach. And the last category is where to put the projections. We've had ongoing discussions with staff about how much, you know, some systems want a lot of projections, some want less. We do a set of projections every year that is basically a relatively short-term, 5-year projection. We do it specifically to capture the one aspect that Ann mentioned, which is to see how the five-year smoothing will roll out. But we are in conversation. So you remember when we presented the actuarial report 2 months ago, we talked about ASOP 51, which is the new actuarial standard of practice on risk. We are in conversations with your staff about what would be the content of a standalone risk report if we are asked to do one. That would be where we think is a great place to put in some of these projections. So it's just a difference of consulting style whether you put the projections in a big report or in a standalone report, and we will probably continue to have it as a standalone report. But whether we do a longer projection, lets you see the new tier come in, watch that normal cost drift down over time, that's an open issue under discussion with your staff. So that's really all I have.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say thank you to Chiron as well as Siegel. As we were starting to look at the results, we had some good discussions around the information, and I think that the goals of the audit were definitely met. We got a better understanding of our system. We got that peer review of it. So I wanted to thank both of you while you're here.
Yeah, and I express my appreciation as well. Finding those two things, and that really is why you do the actuarial audits. It's nice to get that 99% match, okay? But our computer systems know each other at this point, okay? but to find two one a bright line fix and the other is a refinement process, to me, that's what you get out of an actuarial audit.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Any questions or comments for Paul? Great. Thank you. And anything further? Okay, great.
We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the report.
You. Okay.